Hi everyone, it's Adam from Monkey Tennis here. Just saying a huge thank you to all of you that have supported my charity appeal so far. For those that haven't heard about it, this September I'm going to be swimming 15 kilometres between five islands in Cornwall. I'll be swimming the Isles of Scilly, that's Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. I'm doing it because I want to, but also to raise money for CALM, the Campaign Against Living Miserably. It's a well-known statistic that 125 people in the UK die by suicide every week, and CALM run a free and confidential helpline for people to speak through their problems and ultimately to help prevent suicides. I'm looking to raise enough money to train two new phone workers to man those lines, and I'll be doing it by swimming the Isles of Scilly in Cornwall. If you're looking to support me, it would be greatly appreciated. You can donate at justgiving.com. Just go there and search for Adam Swim Scilly. That's Adam Swim Scilly, S-C-I-L-L-Y. All donations greatly appreciated. Thank you for helping me to support CALM. And now, on with Monkey Tennis.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?
So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Knowing me, Tom Dark, not a stab. Knowing you, the Monkey Tennis listener. Aha. Hey guys, just a quick message before we start this week's show. We wanted to remind you that you can still vote for us in this year's British Podcast Awards. So if you've been enjoying our chat over the last few months and you agree that our broadcasting has been 10 on 10, then we really would appreciate your vote. All you need to do is go to britishpodcastawards.com/vote, type Monkey Tennis into the search bar, click on our name when it comes up and submit your vote from there. It's really quick and easy to do and we'd massively appreciate your support. Voting's open till the 28th of April 2017. And now, on with the show.
There now follows a party political broadcast from the Bold Brummies against the Bigfooted Conspiracy Party. Are you looking for an alternative to mainstream politics? Then why not join the Bold Brummies against the Bigfooted Conspiracy Party today? We support the head slap as a form of capital punishment, a system of head slapping to combat immigration, and fully support the Bold Olympics coming to Birmingham. So, are you a bloody buggering shitting buggerhead? Then join the Bold Brummies against the Bigfooted Conspiracy Party today. Just pay your deposit. That's democracy.
Monkey Tennis?
You better believe it, babe. There's a new chat in town.
Monkey Tennis?
Ice white shoes, ice white socks with navy blue double cadet top.
Aha! Monkey Tennis?
I've just been told that Roger Moore is at Chiswick Roundabout.
Monkey Tennis?
Oh, what the heck? Rock and roll, it's Oliver Parr!
Monkey Tennis?
Yes, I am in a jacuzzi sipping spunt.
Alan.
And on that bombshell.
Monkey Tennis?
Hello and welcome to Monkey Tennis, coming to you from the maggot-ridden cesspit of London's East End. I'm Adam Brooks and I'm joined by Tom Dark.
A tray of Lady Volavants.
Nick Older.
Immigration.
It's a political hot potato. And Tom Stab.
Bold Brummies!
So, we're on to episode 5 of Knowing Me, Knowing You, the TV series with our beloved Alan Partridge. I noticed that Alan mispronounces the word welcome.
What's he say?
He says welcome. Welcome. Yeah. Welcome. Welcome. It's like Jules Holland, who also can't pronounce anything.
Radiohead tonight on the show. Radiohead. Wonderful Radiohead.
I feel like this might not be the first time where Alan says welcome in quite an odd way. I feel like that might be consistent in quite a few episodes.
Yeah, I don't know where he's getting it from. It's like he's ripped it off a better chat show host.
Probably.
Yeah. He's got a full moustache.
Yes, and yeah,
he's gone full tash.
Moustache is real. That is not a fake moustache.
Really?
Yeah.
Is there any insight as to what that's actually for and why that happens, why he's growing it?
Like in last week's episode when they were talking about he was gradually growing this moustache. Mm. So I think the whole idea is that Alan thinks it makes him look more refined and dignified, where right. actually it ends up to be a source of mockery
quite
for
quite the
all.
Opposite. Yep. Three episodes in, he's puffed up like an owl and ready to try a new look. Yep. It's terrible, isn't it? It looks like it's been done with eyeliner. That's why I'm surprised to hear it's a Roman. No, I assumed it was fake. It doesn't, it doesn't look great.
It's real. And I also learned that the shirt he's wearing is from M&S. So the things you can learn from a from a DVD commentary.
That is the facts you won't get anywhere else on Alan Partridge.
Well, if you watch
nor would you want.
Okay.
Yeah. So Glenn Ponder is back, but very reluctantly, pending the result of a tribunal with his band Lazarus this week.
But before he talks to Glenn,
there's an important point.
Did anyone note what Alan does in the arena of violence this time round when entering the stage?
He comes out fighting, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's like some kind of James Bond kind of mass fight with like loads of assailants in his mind, I think.
Sort of fitting, given the guests that he's got on tonight's show as well, that it's a bit of old-fashioned punch-up violence.
Yep, and this week's pun, shattered, or should I say, chattered. Yep. Very good.
It's also at this point that Alan suggests that the show should be called The Alan Partridge Show, which everyone is calling it, which I imagine is what no one's calling it.
Yeah, he just wishes that was true. Yeah. Yep.
I noticed as well, when he says chattered, the pun, the drum fill is much less enthusiastic than normal because Glenn Ponder is
Glenn's brief-plated.
Glenn was sacked last week, wasn't he?
Yeah. So. he's only back because of pending actions.
Yep.
Alan then tries to claim that he could get the Eagles to replace Glenn Ponder and his band.
Good luck.
Yeah, who sold about 150 million albums or something. Yeah, good luck. So yeah, Glenn's back with Lazarus. And I was thinking, okay, well, they'll just skim over this. Oh, no, he's still going to chat to the band, who all now hate him anyway. Tries to do another pun, chatty, chatty, bang, bang.
I mean, the gag doesn't really work that well for starters.
And then the drum fill is offensively late. and then Glenn starts extending his theme as well. So Alan walks over to the chat lounge, but Glenn still keeps playing around another 10 seconds.
And then he just end the chat by just saying, see you in court when he sits down.
He does,
so funny.
Yeah, Glenn's basically just fucking with Alan now. He's got nothing left to lose. And the first guest's out, Terry Norton.
So is Terry Norton's played by Alan Ford, who I think most people will probably recognise from the film Snatch, where he plays essentially the same character.
Right. Bricktop.
Yeah, Bricktop in Snatch. Yeah, so Terry Norton is based on, I would say, well, I in my notes I thought it's pretty much the boxing promoter Frank Warren. But they did say that Alan Ford did say that this character is a mixture of Frank Warren and Charlie Cray. Makes perfect sense.
Makes sense. He comes out with a limp. I presume he's been shot.
I didn't notice that.
Yeah, he's got a bit of a limp as he comes on stage. There's some weird bad cutting here as well. I noticed that Terry switches position entirely from shot to shot.
I didn't notice that either.
Good start.
We've all watched it.
Actually, it could just be down to that I was watching the Netflix version, something must have been edited out. Because presumably they do film this as live as best they can.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, so they must have chopped a bit out there. Yep. Oh, yeah. And Alan introduces him with some terrible Cockney rhymes, with a little bit, etc., which is probably the most horrendous thing he's done in the whole series.
I don't know. I still think the way that he spoke to the lovely French lady, Nina Vanier, was kind of up there.
Were you personally offended?
Not personally, but I think that was one of Alan's low points.
I think it's a continuing series of low points. There aren't many highs.
Alex low points.
Alan.
Terry Norton puts in the groundwork trying to find some common ground between him and Alan, saying, you know, we're both come up, you know, having no qualifications, which Alan has serious beef with.
He's like, we're both working class boys. Yeah. Alan Partridge is immediately offended by that.
And has to point out that he did go to East Anglia Polytechnic. And he's got a couple of pretty good A-levels, but doesn't provide any more detail than that.
And then Terry's turned at this point. Yeah. Alan, I feel like he could have got through this with sort of minimal friction.
Yeah.
Yeah. Terry was prepared to come on and play nice.
Yeah.
But...
yeah. But then don't you find with all of the interviews throughout Naomi Knowing You, they descend into disaster very quickly.
Well, it's kind of the point that Terry obviously kind of gets Alan's back up a little bit. Alan makes the point about his education, but then goes on to moan about how his parents did own their own home and they occasionally holiday in Spain.
We've talked a little bit about how the guests themselves are not ideal. They're often narcissists or just nasty people. Do you think if the guests were a bit more high quality that they would weather the storm? I think because like Alan is a bit of a shit. He can't really present the show. But if he had guests that were of a higher calibre, more used to this sort of thing, they would probably work around it.
Or would they just even have less tolerance of him being a rubbish chat show host?
Possibly. I don't know.
So if you're saying like if they're like top flight A-list celebrities and they're more used to kind of doing like the promo trail, they'd be like, this guy's an idiot. I don't want to waste my time on it. I think it might even go worse.
In real life, you can think of quite a lot of interviews that have gone bad, but it's usually pretty much always the guest's fault because they're, you know, they're unresponsive or don't want to be on the show or whatever.
Is it worth us going around giving our best ever real life interview that's gone bad? I can think of several.
The
classics.
One that stands out is, who was it who was in Sleepless in Seattle?
Meg Ryan,
that's it. Meg Ryan on Parkinson, that's it.
I was going to say the Kooks on Pop World.
Oh, amazing.
I was going to say Avril Lavigne on Pop World.
I mean, there's a whole list of great Pop World interviews. Yeah. Does anybody remember, I think it was Clive James really offending the Bee Gees.
Yes.
Because their original band name was like Les Tosseurs or something like that. And he's like, oh, you'll always be Tossers to me. And they just walked
very,
off.
Very witty.
Gotta go. Yeah. They weren't having it. Yeah.
Le Tosseur.
So it was something like that.
Yeah, it was.
I'm going to have a little Google of that.
Yeah. But yeah, they literally unclip their mics and walk off and just say, oh, you're a tosser, mate.
Bad interviews are actually pretty good to watch. Yeah, they're quite compelling viewing.
It's great TV, which is why Knowing You is so good.
So Terry, the interview with Terry is going very much down that route. The actor that plays Terry, I thought he's very good at quiet menace. He doesn't have to do much to be genuinely threatening.
Yeah, I was scared.
Yeah. and he's Terry's on the show to announce that he's bringing back a beauty contest.
Live
on Sky. Yeah.
Well, as Alan says, later in the show, he's going to be serving up a tray of Lady Volivants.
Yep.
for the Miss Norwich competition.
It then follows with probably the most bizarre opening to one of Alan's questions ever. He goes, "Murderer, you killed my son." Because, of course, Terry was accused but acquitted of murdering someone.
Garrotting a nightclub owner in Leicester Square.
That's right. And then this kind of brings on...
They have a great reconstruction in the studio.
Awkward reconstruction, which I imagine for the family must be nothing short of harrowing and upsetting.
Yeah, especially as they do two different scenarios. Yeah. What the court claimed happened. Yeah. So they basically have to watch someone playing their son die twice. He said that the recreation featured professional actors who've appeared in The Bill and Minder. I don't suppose anybody found out whether they actually had.
There is someone later in this episode who has appeared in The Bill.
Thank God for that.
Lovely.
I did also learn from the commentary that it was actually Alan Ford that gave them the idea to... So the characterised version of his character in the recreation is wearing a black shirt and a white tie. Mm. And that was his idea because he was saying it's such a ridiculous gangster film cliche, the black shirt, white tie thing.
Isn't he wearing a sheepskin jacket as well?
Oh, yeah. Something like that. But I thought it was quite interesting that Alan Ford, who's only a bit player, kind of like one character, was kind of like giving thoughts on what the costume should be.
To be honest,
if he told you that's how it's going to be, you're not going to say no.
Yeah, fair enough.
Whatever you want, that's
he
fine.
Will cut you.
Yeah, yeah. Kneecap you.
And his mullet is amazing.
Yeah.
That is kind of the point that happens here. He kind of threatens Alan and says that he's going to suck him into the gangster world, and Alan suddenly does get a little bit scared and massively pulls back.
He says to him, "What was that? Do you want to get involved, son? Do you want to get sucked in?" And Alan is absolutely shitting his pants at that point.
Wipe that soppy look off your gormless face.
Do you want to get sucked in? And basically forces Alan to accept that what's obviously been a carefully planned recreation is in fact just two ponces mincing about talking rubbish.
Yeah. Now, are we having a beauty contest or what?
Beauty contest, please. Yeah, he's like turned into a little kid then, basically. Yeah.
Like a little mouse.
Yeah. A little bit like, in a different way, but in a little bit like with the Playboy Agony Aunt as well, where he's basically on his knees kissing her little round mouth.
Yes.
Do we want to discuss Alan Ford and his potential being typecast?
Yes, please. Talk us through those roles.
I mean, doing a very cursory search on the internet. So obviously, he's best known for his roles probably in Snatch, but he was also in Lockstock, which I didn't remember.
Yeah, I don't remember him in Lockstock.
I think he might have done the voiceover in Lockstock, actually. And he has starred in The Bill as well, so thank God for that. He had a brief role in An American Werewolf in London.
He runs a taxi bar in Lockstock.
Well, if we just do a quick Google search on that, I think actually he was the narrator and the bar owner, Alan.
I've got here.
Another Alan.
Nice.
Great.
That brings us... We've got more credits.
We've got more. Yeah, yeah.
Do go on.
He also... I love this. He also played a character titled East End Thug in the Armando Iannucci shows. So Armando's really pushed him into a corner there. In 2015, he played former Thotch band manager Big Basil Steele in Brian Pern.
I love
Brian Pern's Life of Rock is hilarious. And this is an interesting fact. In 2010, he featured in a music video for He's a Jolly Good Fellow by Welsh rockers Lost Prophets. We'll move on from that.
Sure.
But I also did learn that a lot of his kind of Cockney style voiceovers have been featured in a lot of songs, varying from kind of quite hard kind of dubby grime tracks to metal tracks as well. Mm-hmm. So we can play a bit of one of those in, but we'll keep it brief.
When your spirit is floating down that tunnel toward the light, you know what's behind the light? It's not God, it's me. And I'm going to kick your poncy soul all the way back down the tunnel till you choke on your own fucked up ribs. Now, wake the fuck up.
Banger.
Very good.
Again, very much typecast.
Anything else to say on Terry Norton for the time being?
Well, no, just that was a couple of ponces mucking about talking rubbish. Mincing about talking rubbish.
So Alan then introduces one of the hit bits of his show, another Alan Partridge, where he meets another person with the same name, foreshadowing Dave Gorman's show by several years.
Yeah.
And of course, this one is dead.
Yeah, I mean, naturally, that's the next step, isn't it? Just bring out a dead guest.
Just to clarify,
wheel out the coffin.
They did book the guest and then he died, didn't they? They didn't book him knowing he'd already died. Yeah.
But in true Alan style, they've
cancel the guest because of the awful circumstances. Yeah. Just wheel on the coffin.
And also, don't think it's inappropriate to have Glenn Ponder and Lazarus play a mournful ABBA cover while you wheel on this dead man's family.
Did anyone spot the son of the other Alan Partridge as an actor and things he's been in?
No.
So there's a guy called Sean Gilder who, did anyone watch Shameless? He was, he played Paddy Maguire in that. Also, looking at his IMDb, he's been in The Bill twice as two different characters. Which I quite enjoyed.
I think stuff like The Bill, that's quite common though.
He's also been in Hornblower, Silent Witness, Midsummer Murders, and my personal favourite from the late 90s, Bugs.
Do not remember
Bugs? Do you not remember Bugs?
I remember
it. Oh no, that is bringing something back.
Can you give me a synopsis?
Yeah, Bugs was a BBC TV show that ran in the mid to late 90s, sort of like an action-adventure sci-fi programme, sort of like a precursor to Spook, sorry. It was brilliant. I loved it as a kid.
Nice.
Never heard of it.
Another thing I like when he's introducing himself to the dead man's son is that he doesn't abandon his usual introduction technique, but he just takes on a somber time.
Yeah.
Knowing me, Alan Partridge, knowing you, whatever, Colin Partridge, whatever he's called.
Colin Partridge?
I don't know what he's
Liam.
Called. Liam. Partridge.
Liam
Partridge. And I love when he knocks on the coffin as well.
Brilliant.
It also transpires that Alan's show is not his favourite show. That show is... Can we remember?
Baywatch.
It's Baywatch.
It's Baywatch.
Oh, yeah. Alan shows his second favourite show, isn't it?
Brilliant. Alan's desperately looking for something to go on in terms of talking about the dead man and how he's virtuous. And, but the dead man was a boozer and rude.
Yeah. Alan kind of insinuates as well that he could be going to purgatory or even possibly hell. Yeah. It's very unclear about where he's going.
He did have quite a temper on him. They do repeat that quite a bit.
And also dismisses the man's favourite show, Baywatch, as, oh, yeah, that's the one about the beach people.
They don't live there.
And then they give them a headstone as a gift. And they put the wrong date on it.
Yeah. Oh, also, just one quote that I thought was good because it squeezes two accidental insults in one sentence where he says to Alan's wife, let's hope there are girls in heaven, already insulting, like she's his wife, if that's where he's going.
Yeah,
as he said, he insinuates he might be going to hell.
I did enjoy as well with the date on the headstone being wrong when he's like, well, it doesn't really matter, does it? He's probably got that done on the cheap and doesn't want to have to take it back and get it redone.
They haven't checked the details, have they?
No. He would have liked it to be right.
But they have checked the details enough to make sure that it says at the bottom in large lettering, donated by Alan Partridge, broadcaster.
So then they recruit the deceased mother and son to help judge the Miss Norwich competition. Yeah. Of course they do.
He also briefly offers it to Glenn. Glenn, would you like to judge Miss Norwich? Yeah. Well, you can't.
The Miss Norwich competition, in the words of Alan, it's just a harmless bit of fun. Yeah. That's all it is.
Firstly, probably the main thing, did anyone not notice the extremely familiar face amongst the lineup of Miss Norwich?
Just making sure.
Yeah.
If anybody didn't clock who that was, I think they would have to leave immediately.
Yes. Nick?
I saw it.
Okay, just checking.
Yeah. But did clocked. You know what was going on?
Yeah.
Okay, cool.
You sure?
Yeah.
Well done.
So what is it?
Well, when we get to it, I'll think about it.
We're at it.
We're talking about it now.
You go first, and I'll tell you whether I remember it or not.
Okay, well, you've got five lovely ladies coming out for the Miss Norwich competition. You've got Susan Aitkinson, 20, who works at Saxon Shoes. You've got Donna Cookson, 20. And now, did you notice how Donna was the crowd favourite?
Yes.
She got rapturous applause, mm-hmm. and whoops and cheers. So what our Amanda Unichian team did there, they prepped the audience to go nuts for number two, but didn't tell her. Ah. So when she came out, she was just kind of really flattered and didn't quite know what was going on.
Okay.
That doesn't really go anywhere, does it?
Although there's a point to it. Obviously, the point is that later in the scene, Alan obviously favours someone who shouldn't win. Because she's...
Yeah, but I mean, they
could
never...
have done that without the big cheer.
Yeah,
oh, I
mean,
see.
Because they never directly reference that she's like a crowd favourite or anything.
No, no. But...
But I thought, in a way, that's a bit cruel, the fact that she just thinks, oh, everybody really likes me. But that's just, they've told the audience, just go nuts for her. Number three is Lisa Thornton, 21. Now, let's talk about Lisa Thornton.
Come on, Nick.
Where do we recognise her from, Nick?
Well, I know that she likes to dance around to pop music in a living room. Yeah.
It's Susan.
He's got it. Or Barbara Durkin.
Who plays Susan in I'm Alan Partridge.
She's also the shortest of all the contestants, which I think is a crucial piece of information that Alan imparts.
I did investigate whether, because one contestant works at Saxon Shoes, I did investigate whether that was real. If you go online and look for Saxon Shoes, you can find them. But
are they Norwich based?
When I click through to try and buy a pair of Saxon Shoes for research purposes, tax deductible.
Give me a receipt, put it on a spike.
The error message I got said, there is no product listed in this universe.
What?
Seems
what?
A bit weird. Yeah. I presume Saxon Shoes is one of those things that just died out like Foster's menswear or never existed.
Contestant number four, Maria McNulty. Nick, any notes on Maria?
She's a Roman Catholic. She has a 36 inch bust and
Ave Maria.
That's so good.
And contestant number five is Siobhan Glukowski.
Oh, this is the best one. I might just have to read this out.
Yes, go for it. Yeah. Is this the one that works at William Hill?
Okay, go for it. Siobhan works in William Hill Bookmakers. So what are her odds tonight? I'll tell you. They're 50 to 1. She's a rank outsider. She also has a Polish grandmother who doesn't speak any English. Those are tonight's finalists.
Brilliant. We've looked at their bodies, he said. Now let's look at their minds.
And then it all gets very flirty with Lisa. Contestant three.
She looks really young as well, and Alan looks quite old. I think this is a little bit awkward, this exchange.
Also, he does...
it is very awkward, yes. Yeah.
He does go off Donna quite quickly when he finds out that, although she's the clear fan favourite, she doesn't watch his show.
Yeah. Well, that's the whole thing, isn't it? Like, he's immediately drawn to Lisa because, what did she say? Like, oh, she's always wanted to meet him. And she likes his moustache.
He's basically thrown by this because someone's actually showing him some interest, and she's obviously quite attractive. This is completely new territory for him. So again,
unprecedented.
He goes weak at the knees. His broadcasting style falls to pieces, and everything gets awkward very quickly.
He uses three contestants worth of time just talking to Lisa, and then basically barely even gets a word out of the final two.
I love it when he skips through the last two. He's going, do you like animals? What about you? And then you hear him, he railroads the other judges into who should win, basically.
Yeah, that is so
good. She's got the best personality.
Yep. And then as soon as she's named as the winner, he's straight there with an arm around her waist. But like her character in I'm Alan Partridge, she has a fiancé.
Yeah. Do we dare put the question to the group? Who's your favourite contestant for Miss Norwich?
I did make a note of this.
It's got extensive notes here
Susan
for the first
for me,
time.
Number one.
Oh, number one. Okay. Susan from who works at Saxon Shoes.
That's the one.
Yep. Adam?
It's number three, Lisa, just because she gets the most chat and she seems very friendly.
Well, I think the thing is with Lisa, you find out about the most about her personality, don't you?
Exactly.
Snap?
I think they're all great.
Yeah, there we go. That's my thoughts exactly. Yes. They're all winners.
They're all winners in my book. My extensive book.
I was going to say, what book's
yeah,
that?
What book?
My big book of babes.
At this point,
cut that, Jess.
Don't cut that. It's too funny.
Please don't.
At this point, Alan introduces a new regular feature again. Partridge over Britain.
So this is almost Alan trying to replicate something like Question Time, isn't it? So there's a West Chalfont by-election due to the death of Sir Maurice Christopher, which I thought, is that an interesting reference to Chris Morris?
West Chalfont in Buckinghamshire, never heard of it. That's my home territory, never heard of
it. Is it a real place?
Is it a real place?
I don't know.
Has anyone checked this?
There's little Chalfont, and there's Chalfont St Giles and Chalfont St Peter.
He certainly knows his Chalfonts.
Yeah, he really does.
Right, he's known that well. This one doesn't exist.
Well, or does it?
Oh, right, sorry. Yeah.
It doesn't exist.
What's it called again?
West Chalfont.
How am I spelling that?
Well, W-E-S-T.
No, I know that bit, for fuck's sake.
important that we do this live.
C-H-A-L-F-O-N-T. Very exciting times in the studio here.
It's come up on the Google Predictor.
Doesn't exist.
No, Chalfont St. Giles.
Okay.
Thank you.
Oh, wait a second, though. There is a used car dealership in Chalfont St. Giles called West's. So.
There you go. Close. All your used car needs.
Close, but no cigar.
Good
close
to know. Enough. We've got four politicians here.
He's covered the political spectrum, and I would say from the outset, it looks like it could be a credible, balanced debate about an upcoming by-election.
He does stress that he'll be impartial at all times, and I trust him to keep that.
Exactly. Please.
Yeah, he won't stray from that at all.
No, absolutely
so
not.
You have Charlotte Fraser, played by Rebecca Front as the Labour candidate.
Yes.
Which I thought was quite interesting when you think about Rebecca Front going on to be a Labour politician in the thick of it.
Yes.
Ronald Biggs, who's Lib Dem, played by Felix Dexter, as seen in shows such as The Real McCoy and The Farce Show.
R.I.P.
Yep. Adrian Finch, played by David Schneider as the Tory candidate.
Mm-hmm. And very well played by David Schneider, I think.
Yeah,
that's
I think it's bang on.
Great role.
Fourth and finally, you have Lieutenant Colonel Kojak Slapper III, played by Patrick Marbert, representing the Bald Brummies against the Bigfooted Conspiracy Party.
Bald Brummers!
Bald Brummers! And I mean, that's kind of based on, I would think, the Monster Man Raving Loony Party.
At this point, Alan says, come on, there's a time and place for fun and enjoyment, and it's not on this show.
He also says, here's the final candidate. We have to have him on. He's paid his deposit. That's democracy.
Yeah.
And then Alan starts taking questions, starting with, yes, you, the woman with the high head. I wondered is there any intel on the commentaries about whether the questions are coming from genuine audience members?
Yes. Well, there's a couple of interesting points about this. The lecturer, who's actually a Bald Brummy supporter, but doesn't reveal that straight away, mm-hmm. he was also the Australian minister in the day-to-day that declares war.
Okay.
Because I was thinking, he looks really familiar. And then that all fell into place. And yet, there's a blonde girl in the audience that asked the question. She was a genuine audience member. I mean, I think they've given her the question to read out, but she wasn't an actress.
I think we mentioned on a previous podcast that the chap who is the undercover slaphead, if he started the war in the day-to-day, I think he's also the voiceover on Radio Norwich.
I think that might be right, yeah.
A Partridge through line.
He asked the question of whether there's a chance of the Bald Olympics coming to Birmingham. I did Google Bald Olympics. It is not a thing, unfortunately.
Oh, that's a shame, isn't it?
The dream is dead. I also noticed that Colonel Slaphead's got badges of a bald man. I think it's Brian Eno.
No, it's Kojak.
Oh, is it?
Yeah,
oh, right,
hence Lieutenant Colonel Kojak Slaphead III.
All right.
I also have a great little small anecdote about this. I remember somebody answering the register at school, and instead of the traditional yes sir, when their name got read out, they said yes Lieutenant Colonel Kojak Slapper III. The teacher just went, get out.
That happened at your school?
Yeah.
Blimey.
Wow.
unruly
times.
Yeah.
Tory Partridge really comes out now, doesn't it?
Yeah.
he's definitely on the Tory side. He's trying to help him out all the way through, isn't he?
Let him speak.
There's a sort of presumably an intentional mistake where Alan calls Charlotte Fraser Charlotte Rampling.
That's deliberate.
Yeah, because Rampling is an actress, a model. She's had an OBE and Broadchurch.
I mean, Alan's just not really paying attention until it starts kicking off. Like, he's literally not interested in the responses that the politicians are giving to the audience questions. And at one point, he just says, it's boring.
Yeah. Impartiality's gone out the window, hasn't he? He's interrupting Charlotte to let the hapless Tory guy speak. And then he's so bored, he's stacking pens.
I've never done six.
Genuine fact, in rehearsals, he only ever managed to stack four. Managing to get six in the record was a genuine first.
Brilliant.
So you can actually see it's genuine excitement on his face.
Is it definitely six? Is that in the script? I thought it was five.
No, he gets to five and he's trying to get six. So he's like, and then they fall.
Yeah, but he'd only ever got to four in the rehearsals. So Coogan
was a record.
Yeah, so Coogan is genuinely loving it. speaking of genuine things in this scene, when Schneider starts going, you're a bloody shit. Marber is genuinely laughing. He's corpsing there.
Well, there's quite a bit where he's interrupting and doing the head slipping. What did you say? A regimented system of head slipping.
Head slipping.
You can see Patrick Marber curling at the lips. Yeah. He is about to go. I don't know how they didn't lose it, because every time I see that, I laugh my tits off.
And yeah, as with any balanced political debate chaired by Alan Partridge, it ends in an on-air fight and flashers invading the stage.
I love it when he says that, if you're going to fight, do it in the car park.
The only place to fight.
Well, that's sort of a precursor to when he's pitching in a city sumo to Tony Hares as well, because he says we could do it on the cheap. Circle in chalk on the ground of a pub car park.
Nice and cheap.
Car parks are for fighting if you're Alan Partridge. And he ends the show with a hairy anus in his face.
that bum is right in his face.
Yes. It's very funny, and yeah, you can nearly see his anus.
Yeah. he's trying to cover it with his hand.
And on that bum shell.
Oh, very good.
He's done it.
Head slipping.
Hit us with some IMDb facts, will you?
So, live from IMDb.com, 7.9 out of 10 from 60 reviews. Those number of reviews are decreasing week on week.
As anticipated.
Yep. So, 7.9 out of 10. Fair?
I think so.
Yeah.
It's not the best, it's not the worst.
What's the top rating? Is that 8?
8.
Episode 1 is the highest so far with 8.
Yeah.
We haven't had the highest one yet.
Ooh. Well, considering
there's only one to go, isn't
there? Well, yeah, I didn't say there was any air of mystery around it. You were the ones who went, ooh.
We've got one episode to go. It's all to play for.
Seems a good time to remind people that we'll be covering Knowing Me, Knowing You, obviously, in this series. But for Knowing Me, Knowing Yule, we're going to be doing that live later this year at the Prince Charles Cinema on the 22nd of November. To get tickets, you can go to our facebook.com/thepartridgepod. Or our twitter.com/thepartridgepod. Please do come and join us.
Oh, you're going to have a good time.
Any more factoids on this episode?
I've got Newt.
No, I think that's it.
We're all out. Okay, in that case, it's time for Cards Against Alanity. Coming up any second now.
Head slipping.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
So it's time for Cards Against Alanity. We're up to episode 5. So far, Tom Dark has 2, Nick has 2, Tom Stab and I are yet to get on the scoreboard, but there's everything to play for. This week's sentence to complete with the cards you have in front of you, gents, is, let's hope there are blank in heaven if that's where he's going. Let's hope there are blank in heaven if that's where he's going.
I'm making a slight edit to my card.
Yeah, I'm going to have to dramatically alter mine for it to make sense. But
that's fine. Minor amends are allowed as long as you do not disrupt the essence. There you go, Jedders. Okay, producer Jed is getting the entries together, and he's going to pick his favourite very shortly. He will hand them back to me. I will read them out. And there's going to get some bell pinging going on.
Always the same.
Likes the most. Okay, Jed selected his winner, so here we go. Let's hope there are l'homme de sport in heaven, if that's where he's going. Let's hope there are ironic bum bags in heaven, if that's where he's going.
Yes!
It's Tom Dark again.
I've done it.
Let's hope there are Ipswich-based hotel lobby wine bar bands. That's in heaven, if that's where he's going. And let's hope there are my unmoribund bund merry band in heaven, if that's where he's going. So Tom Dark's got 3. He can't be... he could be taken. He could be
Mac and draw, yeah.
Draw.
Do we need to prepare? We need to prepare some kind of tiebreak.
I probably should
case,
have thought
we?
About that. We'll figure it out.
We'll figure it out for next week.
We're going to have a spare card.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so that's Cards Against Alanity for this week. And for those of you that didn't catch it when we did it live on Facebook, we now have the second round of the second round of Partridge Among the Pixels.
A new regular feature.
A new regular feature on the show called Partridge Among the Pixels. Okay, so let me explain the game. Basically, I've been on Google Trends, where you can see various search terms and how they compare to one another in terms of popularity. These figures are based on worldwide searches over the last 12 months. What we've done is I've looked up how popular the term Alan Partridge was, and I'm also looked up a load of other Alan-related terms, and I want the team here to confer and let me know whether they think the term that I'm going to give them is more popular than Alan Partridge or less popular.
Yeah, so okay. We have to make a collective group decision on this.
Okay,
yeah.
Yes. Okay, got it. Feel free to confer, and also, if you get it right, you will hear the now traditional monkey tennis bell, which sounds like this.
Yes.
There we go. Ready to begin?
Such high production values.
I think we're as ready as we've ever been.
At least it's a genuine bell. Here you go. You can. Yeah. There it is.
The famous bell.
Okay. So, the first one. Okay. Which of these is more popular worldwide in the last 12 months? Is it Alan Partridge or Lynn?
Ooh, Partridge, surely.
Lynn is quite a broad term, though. If you think about it.
In that it's a woman's name.
It's
a woman's
I think
name
it's Partridge.
Could be searched
I think
globally.
It's Partridge.
Okay, let's go Alan Partridge.
Okay, we'll go Partridge.
You're bang wrong. It's
what?
Lynn.
See?
All right, fair enough.
It's a broad term. Yeah,
fair enough.
Adam, are you keeping a tally of the scores, by the way?
I haven't.
It's none out of one.
Yeah, I think we can all collectively keep a tally. Clarity's sake, that's Lynn spelled L-Y-N-N. The next one. Which is more popular of these search terms, Alan Partridge or commissioning editor?
Alan Partridge.
Yeah.
That's decisive.
Yeah, I would go Partridge for this one, I think.
Yep.
Everyone's saying Partridge.
Yes.
You're right.
We're on the board.
Yeah,
okay,
Alan is
good.
The most popular. Alan Partridge or BBC Two?
Beeb, surely.
It's got to be BBC Two.
BBC Two, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You're right. It's BBC Two. Which of these is more popular as a Google trend worldwide in the last 12 months? Alan Partridge or Spice Museum?
How many Spice Museums
are
there apart from the one in Longstanton, which we know exists?
We know it doesn't exist.
No, Nick did the research. It was real.
They've got a website.
Yep.
Oh, yeah. I've got no reason to doubt your rigorous research.
Exactly.
So,
Alan Partridge.
Alan Partridge.
Yeah, got to be Partridge.
More popular than Spice Museum, you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah. Correct.
We're on a roll, guys. We're on a roll. We're nailing this.
Okay. Alan Partridge or Breakfast Buffet?
Ooh,
Breakfast
that's
Buffet.
Good.
Think of the Americans. Got to be Breakfast
the American
Buffet.
Market. Yeah, I think it's I'm with Nick on that one.
Yeah, got to be Breakfast.
Okay, you're right. It's Breakfast Buffet.
Come on.
Just a sub question. When you think of Breakfast Buffets, do you think eat all you like or do you think eat all you can?
Well, it should always be enjoyable, and I think like sounds more enjoyable than can.
Yeah,
can sounds like a challenge. Yeah. That's like you're in an eating competition.
Yeah, the world of competitive eating. Okay, next one. Alan Partridge or Mini Metro?
Ooh.
Worldwide.
I feel like it's a moribund term now.
Yeah, exactly.
Metro, so
yeah, if we were talking early to mid-90s. Yes. Okay, yeah.
Is this term moribund? Yes, it is.
Partridge.
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 Partridge. Partridge. Correct.
Yes.
Partridge beats Mini Metro.
Next one.
Partridge or Toblerone?
Oh, Toblerone's been in the news recently, hasn't it? Because it changed.
It's got to be Toblerone, sure.
Yeah, yeah. It was December, was it, where they remodeled the Toblerone, so they made the segment smaller.
Yeah.
It's got to be Toblerone, yeah.
Okay, then. You're right.
We are
Toblerone.
Smashing this.
Can I just say, though, a bit of intel on that. Toblerone and Alan were more or less neck and neck until
the Brexit Toblerone debacle,
yeah, and then it went off the scale.
Hang on, is it because of Brexit they remodeled it?
Yeah,
it was their costs.
Yeah,
the costs were rising.
Changed. It became like the figurehead of Brexit was this spacious Toblerone with big gaps.
Bloody Brexit. First it was Marmite, next it was Toblerone, whatever next.
Oh. So, Google Trends worldwide in the last 12 months, which is more popular? Alan Partridge or Ladyboys?
That's got to be Ladyboys.
Oh, I'm going to go with Ladyboys as well.
Ladyboys.
Adam, tell us about the Ladyboys.
It's Ladyboys.
Yes.
Oh, yes. Alan Partridge or Bangkok?
Oh, well, Bangkok, surely. Yeah, the amount of people Googling holidays, hotels.
Yeah. A nice, easy one.
Yes.
Yep, that's okay, right.
Lovely
Bangkok
stuff.
Is more popular than Alan. Alan Partridge or the phrase big plate?
And it doesn't matter how big the plate is. We don't need to specify.
I'm going Alan Partridge.
Yes, I'm going Partridge as well.
Yeah. Okay.
I might veer towards big plate, but we need to go with the group decision.
Who's searching for big plate?
No, good point. Yeah. Yes, Partridge.
It's Partridge. Yeah. Correct, it's Partridge. Just to respond to a couple of commenters, Mark Smith, unfortunately, we are a mere podcast. We do not have the power to bring back Tandy.
Sorry.
As much as I would love.
Although he would also like to see Long Stanton Spice Museum happen.
Me too, I'm with you. Let's make this happen.
We all would. Start a petition.
Yeah.
If we get to 10,000 signatures, the government has to debate it.
We've got the website. We're halfway there.
That's true. Okay, which of these is more popular as a search term on Google in the last 12 months worldwide? Alan Partridge or Linton?
Partridge. We're going with Partridge on that one.
Yeah. Partridge, you're bang wrong.
What?
Linton, the town of Linton, is more popular, apparently.
Wow.
I can't believe it, but
it's Google. So
at this point, I would just like to point out that this is producer Jed over here. We didn't actually introduce him at the beginning. Jed, this is the man behind the machine that is out Monkey Tennis.
This counts as an episode, so you can have a single word to the people at home if you'd like.
Burger sauce.
That's two words. Get out.
Maybe if you hyphenate it.
Yeah.
Your obsession with burger sauce is a real problem, isn't it? Yeah. Okay, search terms. Which of these is more popular on Google? Alan Partridge or Salmon Heifer?
Alan Partridge.
I'd side with Partridge for that.
Partridge.
Okay, you're saying Partridge. You're right. Yes. It's Partridge.
It slightly ruins the element of suspense when Adam has to lean over to hit the bell. Yeah, so we kind of know what's going to happen.
So which one are you going to say?
There's a lot of moving parts here. We are live. This is live.
This is live.
Okay. Google Trends, Alan Partridge or... R-E-O Speedwagon.
They're one of the biggest stadium bands in the world, remember, so surely...
According to him.
Yeah.
I'm tempted to go R-E-O.
I don't think they're active now, so I'm not sure many people are active.
Oh, is it last 12 months, isn't it?
Yes, last 12 months.
All right, okay, Partridge.
Yeah.
He checks his notes.
It's R-E-O Speedwagon.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
fair enough.
Ollie Motsch just commented, you mean Long Stanton Spice Museum doesn't exist? Don't open that can of worms again, Ollie.
Ollie, we can't do this now. We can't do this now.
You're going to have to listen to our extensive back catalogue for a blow-by-blow account of Long Stanton Spice
Museum. Go to their website and make up your own mind. One of us made up their minds and got it wrong.
Yeah,
I thought it existed. They had a website. It was very credible.
With no directions, contact information.
It had a customer service written by Alan in 1997. Anyway, okay, we're coming to the last few now. Which of these is more popular on Google? Alan Partridge or Wings?
Ooh. Well, if REO Speedwagon are more popular than Alan Partridge...
It's got to be Wings.
And are Wings more popular than REO?
Wings could be the wings of a bird.
Yeah.
It's a broad term, like...
Yeah, good
it's a broad
point. Term, chicken so wings.
I'm going
okay.
for wings.
It's Wings. Wings.
It's Wings.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay, final three. Which of these is more popular on Google? Alan Partridge or Roger Moore?
More, surely.
Gotta be more. He's a household name.
Dark's Unsure.
It's the last 12 months, isn't it?
Dark's Unsure.
Has Roger Moore been very active in the last 12 months? That's my question.
I would say probably less active than Partridge, but does his legacy count for anything?
I guess maybe Roger Moore is more of a global name than Alan Partridge, sadly. Sorry, Alan, he wouldn't like to realise that. I just think Roger Moore.
I'm going to go Roger Moore.
You're saying Roger Moore?
Yep.
You're right.
Yeah.
Okay, we're down to the last two. Which of these is more popular, Alan Partridge or Sports Desk?
I defer to you as a resident sports expert.
Sportman.
Sportsman.
Who's actually Googling the term sports desk?
People like me that don't know anything about sport.
What is a sports desk? I'm going to go Partridge.
Okay, yeah, I'm happy with that.
I think Partridge.
You're right. Alan Partridge beats Sports Desk into a cocked hat. Okay, the last one for this round of Partridge Against the Pixels, or Partridge Amongst the Pixels.
Yep.
The name's being workshopped.
This is live. We're doing this live.
Which is more popular on Google worldwide last 12 months, Alan Partridge or Crowded House?
I
would immediately go Crowded House, I think.
Yeah, after the REO Speedwagon revelation, I think we're going to go Crowded House.
And they're one of Nick's favourite bands as well.
They really are. Yeah.
The answer is Alan Partridge.
Oh, good for Alan.
There is no justice.
Well done, Alan. Adam, how many were there in total? I lost count.
Oh, God. Okay. This is very professional.
20?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, I think.
Okay, well, we got 14 correct, so that's, I think, not that's
respectable. That is fairly respectable. Shout out to Jim Marston, who says, there was a Foster's menswear in my town.
Thank you, Jim.
Hashtag just saying.
Thank you, Jim.
Thanks very much for joining us for this little Facebook Live experiment, a partridge amongst the pixels. We are going to carry on now. We're going to cut you off, I'm afraid, and carry on recording, but there'll be new episodes in due course.
Coming soon.
Stay tuned on the social medias. Obviously, you're already following us on Facebook, or you found our Facebook page. We're on Twitter at the Partridge Pod, and you can email us thepartridgepod@gmail.com. Thanks very much, and we'll be seeing you shortly.
Aha!
And remember, never use burger sauce on your breakfast. That's insane.
That's all we got this time around on Monkey Tennis, the Alan Partridge fan podcast. Thanks so much to those of you who have liked, subscribed and reviewed us on iTunes. We really appreciate it. Thanks also if you've already got your tickets for our live show at the Prince Charles Cinema on November the 22nd. We will be back with the last in the current series of Monkey Tennis next week. From all of us here, thank you and aha.
It's slipping.
Oh,
it's slipping.
Monkey Tennis is a post-pop podcast produced by Jed Shepherd. The artwork's by Dave McNamara, and the theme is an excerpt of the Black Beauty theme, Galloping Home, by Dennis King. To find out more about the records and podcasts made by Post-Pop, head to postpoprecords.com.
Monkey Tennis? You better believe it, babe. There's a new chat in town. Monkey Tennis?
Ice white shoes, ice white socks with navy blue double cadet strap.
Aha! Monkey Tennis?
I've just been told that Roger Moore is at Chiswick Roundabout.
Monkey Tennis?
Oh, what the heck? Rock and roll, it's Oliver Parr!
Monkey Tennis?
Yes, I am in a jacuzzi sipping spunt.
Alan.
And on that bombshell...
Monkey Tennis?
Aha. Uh-huh.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.